Betty, what we want to do is let's do a little thumbnail sketch of your experience.
All right.
And basically kind of segue that into Becky.
All right. Well, it all started in 1944 as a child in Leominster, Massachusetts, when I had an encounter. And then in 1950 in Westminster, Mass., the culmination of that particular encounter was I was taken to the world of light through the great door to see the One. And then in 1967 in South Ashburnham, Mass., I was taken out of my home. My mother and father were staying with me and my seven children. They were placed in a state of suspended animation. And the culmination of that particular experience was I came before a huge living bird, and the investigators that have checked my case right up until now felt that it was the case of a phoenix bird encounter, because I saw this huge bird that looked like an eagle with its wings down, and there were sparks of fire flying all around, and it was very warm. Mm-hmm. After that, I must have passed out because there was bright light in front of me, and I heard someone call my name and said that I had been chosen to show the world something. And for a number of years, I wondered, well, what is it? What am I supposed to tell? And finally, I realized it was the encounters I was going through had to be released to the public so that they would have an understanding of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1975, when I was living in Ashburnham, Mass., on Russell Hill Road, I was again taken up into a craft, and there was a lady on a table, and there were gray beings there, and they were removing a small fetus from her. And during that time, I got very upset at how they were handling the fetus, and they said that it was not allowed to breathe in any air. And so they plunged it into a cylinder of liquid. And at that time, as I was objecting to their what they were doing, they said they had to, that man will eventually become sterile. And that was quite a shocking statement for them to make.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the reasons why they were taking seed and fetuses.
Betty, what does this represent for you? I mean, the way you're describing it, it sounds like almost a religious experience.
Well, I am a very spiritual person, and we are much more than just flesh and blood. And I think that what it is for us to understand our whole being, to understand and know ourselves, what we are made up of, who we are, and what is going on. I think that this is the experiences I've been having are to set things straight for us to understand what life really is about and what we are about.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to get a little bit more into your experience. And then, of course, you're going to tell us about your husband, Bob, and his experiences. And then we're going to talk to Becky, your daughter.
Okay.
Okay. 1-800-836-2009. 1-800-836-2009. The book we're talking about is The Andreasen Legacy. It was written by Raymond Fowler. We'll probably touch a little bit upon Raymond's connection to all of this as well during this hour. Once again, from the East Coast is my guest tonight, Betty Andreasen Luca, Bob Luca, and Becky Luca. Is that correct, Betty?
No, that's Becky Andreasen.
Becky Andreasen. Okay. Forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and before we get on, we've got a caller calling in from our affiliate KCMO in Kansas City. David, good evening.
Good evening, Michael. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
I thought we had a bad connection there for a moment.
Go ahead. What's your comment?
Well,
or question.
Betty. I have read the book, The Andreasen Affair.
Mm-hmm.
And I can barely hear you for some reason. I don't know if we have a bad connection or not.
Okay.
But I understand that you had an experience that was similar to the Phoenix Rising. Is that correct?
And that's right.
And could you explain that for me just for a moment, please?
Well,
what the experience was all about?
That is what I mentioned earlier, where I was brought to a particular place, and the culmination of that encounter, the 1967 encounter, was where I was brought before this huge bird, and the investigators felt it was like a phoenix experience because what had happened was there was a huge eagle with its wings down, and it was very warm. As I moved closer to it, I could see these spots of a gold in the air, like bright lights. And then all of a sudden it got so hot, I think I must have passed out or something, because the next thing I knew, the bird was gone, and there was a pile of ashes present, and there was emerging from the ashes a large gray worm. Then in the bright light, I could hear a voice call my name twice, and said, do you understand? And I said, no, I don't understand. I don't even know why I'm here. And the voice told me that I had been chosen to show the world something. And for years, I had tried to understand what was it that I was supposed to show the world. And it dawned on me that it was my experiences that had to be related to the public so that they could know what was going on.
Do you believe that that was a symbol of metamorphosis in connection with rebirth or reincarnation, if you will?
Well, I believe that's what the investigators believed. I think the phoenix bird represents that, doesn't it?
Yes, and you know, I don't want to confuse the subject here, but I'm convinced that we live many thousands of lifetimes, that we come back again and again and again, and that's what the purpose of life is the acquisition of wisdom and knowledge, and we can't do it in one lifetime. We must come again and again and again. And so it seems to me that maybe we don't remember our previous incarnations, and that would confuse us in our present incarnation. And maybe this experience that you had was to demonstrate that principle that life is a continuous idea, that material existence is for a purpose, a manifestation of the creation, if you will.
It's quite possible.
Okay, we're going to move along, David. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Betty, now, when he asked you about the what you believe, what do you believe is at the root of all of this?
Of that particular experience?
Yes, uh-huh.
Or everything?
I guess everything. Everything.
Everything that I've been going through.
Right.
I think it, there are warnings within it that our environment is in jeopardy, our very existence is in jeopardy, that these beings have been here since the beginning of our time, and they have been watching over nature and all the natural forms and see the trouble that we're in. I believe that is one thing, but I think there is also hope that love is the answer for all of us. You know, one person at a time trying to help another person, just spreading that love as far as possible.
Why do you think, I'm just curious, and I know I'm speaking for several people that have asked me this question before over the time that we've been doing this program, why are the aliens or the folks that are interacting with you, why are they not presenting themselves to the world just kind of out in the open? Why are they using human beings as their venue or tools to essentially get the message out?
Well, we're involved. They said that they were keepers of nature and all natural form and see the problems that we're in, and they have a cycle also. And as they take some of the so-called hybrid babies from surrogate mothers, this also allows them to have life. But if humanity does become sterile and man does cease to exist, this means they also will cease to exist.
I see. How does this square, I guess, with, say, David Jacobs or Bud Hopkins, who do not think...
I'm not familiar with all of their particular information that they have.
Well, okay, one of the things that they do say very only a lot of times is that this contact may not be good for mankind. Do you see it that way as well, or does it seem to be something different?
I believe that there is the good and the bad within everything and anything that goes on.
Is it good for you or bad?
I think that it has been good. I mean, I've gone through some hardships from... a lot of this. Also, through some of the examinations, I felt some pain, but very often you have to experience those things in order to get better or make things better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, your husband, Bob Luca, has also had experiences, and the two of you feel that you were brought together for a reason. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What's going on with that?
Well, I think that maybe it would be better to hear it in Bob's
Okay. Words,
Michael.
All right, go ahead and put him on.
Okay.
Betty, thank you.
Okay, and Becky will hold on the line now.
Okay.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Good, Bob. I asked Betty the question that your abduction experiences, or you've been experiencing abductions as well, you guys feel that you were brought together for a particular reason. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you tell us what that reason is?
Well, first off, we're two different people. Betty was brought up with a spiritual background, did a lot of Bible study and so forth. I was not. I thought all this stuff was a lot of nonsense.
Uh-huh.
The spiritual aspect, I didn't pay any attention to. I'm a nuts and bolts type person. However, I've had to change my views considerably after experiencing these things, and I have found out that there's much more to life than the narrow view that I had in
right.
the earlier years. As far as how we were brought together, she lived in Massachusetts. I lived in Connecticut. I met her in Florida.
Uh-huh.
After traveling around the country, out to the West Coast, up to Idaho, and suddenly in Idaho deciding that we needed to go to Florida. I mean, which is way out of your way if you're going back to Connecticut.
Right.
And the very first night there, we stayed at my friend's sister-in-law's house. She worked with Betty. And I said, you know, she told me that she worked with a woman that had a UFO experience. And I said, you know, I'd really like to talk to this woman because I had this experience in 67. I've been afraid to talk to anybody about it. Maybe here's somebody that might listen to me.
Okay.
Which she did. I took her out for the next day. That evening, she wouldn't talk to me because she thought I was a reporter. The investigators told her to stay away from reporters. I convinced her I was not. I took her out for lunch the next day, and I've been buying her lunch ever since that time.
Okay. All right, now hold that. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to get a little bit into your experience, and then we'll get to your daughter, Becky, okay?
Sure enough.
Okay, 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guests, Betty Andreasen-Luca, Bob Luca, and, of course, Becky Andreasen will join us here in just a moment. We're talking about The Andreasen Legacy, written by Raymond Fowler. It's a new book on the market. It's published by Marlowe and Company. It's available in all major bookstores. Okay, back to our guests. We're with Bob Luca right now at the present moment. We're talking about the recent book just published, The Andreasen Legacy. And, Bob, give me a kind of a thumbnail sketch of your abduction experience and what led you up to this.
Okay, and it started in 1944. I was 5 years old. A craft came and hovered over the area where I had a swing set at the time. I was at my grandmother's because my dad was in World War II, so we were living there. And they gave me some messages. I wasn't actually physically taken aboard the craft, but I did see the little grays. And I was told that they were preparing something that would be good for mankind in the future. I was told that people like me that had seen them would, in fact, come together and meet years later, which certainly has been the case, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Then going on through childhood, I had a minor abduction experience in the 50s. In 1967, I was abducted. I was examined. I had sperm samples taken. In 1978, my belief system was shattered when Betty and I both had an out-of-body experience where we were abducted together. We were separated. She was in one area. I was in another. I was told I was not spiritually advanced enough to be in the area that she was in. I was told, among other things, that apparently what you would refer to as reincarnation does take place along the lines of developing spiritual development, which I didn't believe in at the time. I was told that evil is a necessity, and they gave me many reasons why, which is all in the book. And these things continue up till today. For a lot of people, it's very hard to take or believe. And as I said, being a nuts and bolts type person, I can see that if you haven't experienced it. But on the other hand, I have to relate what has happened.
Sure, I understand. I need to speak a little bit louder into your microphone there, your handset.
And also, when all this came out, when it started with the first book, someone, probably government, became very interested because we had our phone tapped. We had 4 tax audits in 4 years. We had black helicopter flights for years, which I could never, ever get to the bottom of. Even though I took photographs, I called everyone from the FAA to the Army, the Air Force, wrote the Pentagon, gave them compass headings, direction, time of flight, approximate altitude. Not one agency ever could identify these helicopters.
Bob, real quick, and we're going to be running out of time, so we're going to have to get on to Becky, too, but I wanted to ask you, what do you think the government is trying to hide here? What role are they playing in this?
Well, I guess studies that the CIA has done in the past show pretty much that when a superior power comes into being, that those in power obviously are not in that elevated position any longer. Perhaps this is one of their worries.
Okay.
Really know for sure.
Okay, so you've drawn the scrutiny of the government
mm-hmm.
with your experience.
Right.
Okay. Now, set up Becky's experience and what we're going to be talking about with her.
Okay, Becky, for it's a lifelong experience. She has been taught the alien writing, and this sounds strange, but I mean, she can explain it in detail. It's been almost a lifelong process for her. She can sit down and write it just as you and I would sit down and write English.
Okay.
And she understands or can get a feeling for what some of it says. It is being analyzed by linguist experts through Mr. Fowler, and I'll let her go on from there.
Okay, Bob, I want to thank you for being on the program. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, have a good evening.
You too.
Hello.
Hi, this is Becky Andreasen. You're Betty's daughter?
Yes.
Okay, Becky, Bob just told us then. We're going to be running out of time here. We're kind of compressing all of this into an hour. You have become proficient in alien writing.
And speaking. I've studied with them for 40 years, and I write their language, and I speak it, and it comes from the heavens. And what I have found is it's the first language here upon Earth, and they have found many languages in this writing and in my speaking of it. And what that is a fractured language down through thousands of years of the original whole language that was brought here.
Can we have an example of what
it's... Yes, you want one for your listeners.
Yes, please.
Huyandara hai hisiyata yandrakusya ha. That's what I speak.
Okay, and what is that?
To your listeners, by the way.
What was that again?
That is to your listeners.
To your listeners.
Yes, everyone out there who is listening, that was spoken to them.
Now, how did you learn this?
They taught me. They taught me the writing first. As I was 2 years old, they had these little hieroglyphs, and they were like in toys, little round toys, square toys, triangle toys, and that is how they, you know, I was familiar with them. And from then on, it went like in school, first grade, second grade, third grade, and I learned more and more until I learned how to write it, and then eventually I learned how to speak it.
Now, I want to mention in the book, there's examples of this this writing. It looks kind of like symbols.
Right, it is. It's a type of symbols as you write it. And then in the speaking of it, we have found out that Hebrew is one of the languages in it, but it is of many languages because it comes from the first language brought here.
It's very interesting. And you say it's being studied by...
Yes, I think they found so far 7 different languages in the writing. And in the speaking of it, I'm looking now, we're looking into it now even closer, and predominant is Hebrew right now in it, but there are other languages in it. I've been told that already.
Where are these beings from?
The beings are from the heavens.
Particular location or place, or are they dimensional type creatures, or what are they?
Well, they're here on Earth, but they're from the heavens, like in Genesis, when they say from the heavens.
So maybe angelic type?
Yes, they are. They're angelic, and also the grays are, like Mom was telling you, they're from human and from them.
Okay.
They're of the earth.
Okay.
But the elders, I believe, are angelic. And I've been with the elders from birth to 12 years old, and then I was introduced to the grays from 12 on up.
Okay. Well, Becky, we've got to wrap up at this particular point. I want to thank you for being on the program.
You're welcome.
And thank your parents as well.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Becky.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was quite a story. And, of course, if you want more, you'll have to get the book, The Andreasen Legacy. Again, it's available in all major bookstores. Coming up before the end of the hour, we've got a report from the San Luis Valley and Christopher O'Brien on a strange animal death. We'll be right back. Coming back, and we just got a couple of minutes to wrap up the program. What do you think? I mean, we just heard from Betty Andreasen and Luca and her husband Bob and daughter Becky. Very, you know, kind of out there. In a lot of ways, and as I probably contrasted last week on this program, we were talking about why do these cases, and you know, this is kind of I'm throwing this out there for yourself to you know ponder. Maybe we can talk about this next week at a later date. Why does it seem like it always comes down to a political or a religious agenda? I don't know. I mean, that's you know, just one of those kind of very, very bizarre things. And kind of, again, contrast my question about, you know, why do these cases come down to that? Do they all come down to that, I guess, is one question that I have, because I know that Betty and Barney Hill not come down to that equation, nor did necessarily Travis Walton. It didn't seem like it was a religious or a political statement. But, you know, we're hearing a lot of this lately, and this seems to be the venue of the day. You know, the aliens seem to be enlightening us on our political, religious, and environmental woes. And for my money, I think that's kind of problematic, but who knows. Because, you know, the big question is, why don't they show themselves? Why, if we're in the soup that we're in, and they're our guardians, and they're looking out after us, why aren't they, you know, why aren't they making their big appearance and setting things right and saying, okay, now look, you know, this is the way it's going to be, or else? Because, you know, if we're really going to hell in a handbasket, if you will, by God, I think that if they're so concerned about us, they would want to intervene. But nevertheless, the book is The Andreasen Legacy, written by Raymond Fowler. It's one of a series of books that have been written over the years by Ray Fowler on this particular case. This is one of those cases, too, that seems to always hold up. You always come back to it. You know, it's one that's been investigated, too, quite extensively that I know of. And, you know, it's made a lot of news. And of course, according to the subtitle here, the startling conclusion of the Andreasen affair. So apparently maybe we're going into another phase of something else. Okay. Anyway, next hour, again, Jim Mars will join us, and I'll also update you on the San Luis Valley animal death. We'll get to that, too, as well. If you want to reach me, you can do so by calling 303-863-0484. My email address is mcorbin@dimensional.com, and our website, www.paranet.org/paranet.